David Sandler had a very deep concern for the dignity and self-esteem of the salesperson. He wanted to find ways to help salespeople be proud of their profession and the manner in which they practiced it. The following excerpts from his book, You Can't Teach a Kid to Ride a Bike at a Seminar, reflect that concern and his discoveries. And so I left my child and my critical parent roles behind me and called on prospects with my adult and my nurturing parent to support me. Together, we made up a human relations model that allowed me to fail sometimes and to win sometimes, but to feel good about myself all the time. That's what traditional salespeople can't do, even today. They have to sacrifice feeling good about themselves because, in their minds, selling is a win-lose proposition. Someone always wins, and someone always loses. When they sell, they win. When they don't, they lose. I was soon to discover that's all wrong. Selling can always be a win-win proposition. If you're going to be a top sales performer, you've got to feel good about yourself. When you feel good about who you are and what you do, you can work more effectively. Protect yourself. Develop a healthy self-image. It's not important what people may do or think about you. What's important is how you feel about yourself. In his quest to find self-respecting approaches for sales professionals, David came to understand the importance of facing failure with courage and learning from it. Here's another excerpt. Failure is universal. It's part of the human experience. It's important to learn how to fail because the only way to achieve anything is to risk failing. Why is it so difficult to risk failing? I think it's because we don't understand failure, and we don't see that failure includes an upside. With all of our success programming and conditioning, it would be difficult to suddenly begin saying, "I just can't wait to fail again." However, it's normal to fail. It's healthy to fail. And the most successful of professional salespeople would never allow failure to stand in their path to success. Like anything else, we can learn to fail. We can learn to accept failure so that risking failure doesn't have to be so difficult. So when the vice president of training asked me to return the next day, I said that I would not. "There should be no misunderstanding about the agreement that we had," I said as we sat among the company's executives in the conference room. "I am happy to stay here today as long as it takes to show you how I am going to help you with your problems. But since you had agreed to say yes or no at the end of my presentation, we will either start or not start with my program. I'll leave you and your people alone, and I'll sit outside in your conference room and wait for your yes or no. If you can't say yes today, I'll take a no." And then I got up and left the room. For an hour, I waited outside the conference room until they called me back into the meeting. They had arrived at a decision, and it was yes. I thanked them for the business, and then I said, "I would like to know how you made the decision." The vice president of training went to the blackboard and showed me that they had used the traditional Ben Franklin close. On one side of the blackboard, they had listed all the reasons why they should buy my program. On the other side, they had listed all the reasons why they shouldn't buy. There were 12 reasons why they should and 11 reasons why they shouldn't. The 12th reason, which favored the purchase, clinched the deal for me. It said, "Because he was true to his system. He won't let us fail."